Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. The Brad Reality Show. Manic Monday.
Run away, blowing smoke. You folks are worried and going broke. Have just fought in an all-new episode. Reality is a happening reality that comes from above. Your body's cold, there's no bigger love. His reality will welcome us back. Trust it, obey, there is no other way.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Everyone sit back and enjoy, because you know what? You know what day it is? It's Monday. That means it's Manic Monday. And that means it's time for...
Just another manic Monday. Wish it was Sunday. That's my fun day. I don't have to run there. Just another manic Monday. Hey, hey. Wish it was Sunday.
Hello, everyone, and everyone that's in the chat room, everyone that's listening somewhere else on the internet, welcome to Manic Monday.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Oh, please don't take my sunshine away.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight is February 11th, 2013. I'm Cherry Garcia, and with me is Mr. Paul from Minnesota. We'll be your co-host tonight. Are you ready for our Manic Monday show? Hosted by the beautiful Portuguese princess, Miss Michelle Costa from Big Brother 10. She's been battling Nemo, but Nemo couldn't keep her away from her fans, so she'll be with us in just a moment. But first, I want to say thank you to Paul for doing much of the busy work that I normally do back behind the scenes of the show. Thank you so much, Paul, for keeping everything running smoothly. It's been very difficult these last few weeks, but because of you, you've kept things going, and I just want to say thank you so much for doing everything you've been doing. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well. I hope it was smooth. The times didn't feel very smooth, but no, you're very welcome, and glad to have you back in the saddle, so to speak.
Oh, thank you, dear. And let's bring on the host of our show, the host of Manic Mondays Always, Miss Michelle Costa. She's been battling Nemo up there on the East Coast and just doing a fine job of it. She hasn't gone crazy, I don't think, yet. Michelle, how are you, dear?
I'm crazy. Well, number one, I'm crazy because, number one, you're back. It's back.
Aww.
Everything's back, and I don't even care what has been going on. I'll get to that. But am I the only one that's like, What up, Cherry? I'm so excited. I can't even take it that it's back. Me, Cherry, and Paul, and I'm sure I'll be talking shit to Paul. Back to normal. Right, Paul?
You got it.
Love it. I know Paul is super excited, too. I mean, Cherry, I just love you, and this makes a lot of what's been going on, and we're going to just talk about that, but I'm so glad that you're back, and I can't wait to hear your update about everything. And, yeah, you know, I got a couple things to say about Nemo. Nemo, fuck you. Sorry, disclaimer. Let's throw it out there. Fuck you, because I've been dealing with you for about 4 days now or whatever, and I'm still going to deal with you, and I'm going to elaborate on that. F you. So everybody knows that, if you don't know, I don't know what kind of hole you've been in, but the blizzard that hit where I live was called Hurricane Nemo. Number one, my first statement is, why do this to the kids? They're like, why did Nemo do this, Mommy? What's Santa Claus going to do? You know? What the hell?
Why can't they name it Frank? You know?
Like,
or...
Paul and Cherry, please give me... Am I the only one that thinks that the name of Nemo is bad?
I agree.
Paul, what are you thinking all the way over there in Minnesota? You guys get a lot of blizzards. Like, what?
Well, first of all, I've mentioned it before. I do not care for... This is a Weather Channel phenom where they're naming winter storms, and I still don't care for them even naming winter storms. But I was going to ask you, what do you think? Was this... how did you feel comparing this blizzard with the one in 1978? Oh,
well,
wait a minute. You weren't born
I was
then.
Born in 1979, so I was definitely a thought, because God damn it. Did you look at me yet? I was like, what the fuck? I'm sorry. This might be disclaimer night. I don't often swear. I've been being really good, but, you know, I mean, there's been a lot going on, so I think I deserve it. Anyway, like, are you serious? You know, it's been crazy just having the whole thing happen. And then you think, we've been through so much with technology, with knowledge, with passing along stories, you know, passing down knowledge. And it's been like, we're like, it's the first day around the rodeo. Hello.
Hey,
you
Michelle.
You live in New England. It's not, well, yes?
I was really worried that you were going to lose power. What is the total population of Rhode Island? What percentage at the high time was of the whole population of Rhode Island was without power?
Good question, Paul. You know, the last actually few storms in the past couple of years, I've lost power for between a day to 5 days. So we were really worried. I was really scared just because of the temperature with the pipes and everything, and not being able to like tweet, because I love twatting. I'm a twatter. So I try to twat. I guess people say I don't twat much, whatever. I twat as best I can. Anyway, you know, I was like, we're going to lose power. And we didn't, thank God. And our lights flickered on, I'd probably say a dozen times, probably in an hour basis. It was just flickering. So we were like, oh, my God. But we didn't lose power, thank God, which means we didn't lose heat, thank God. But many people lost power and heat. And I believe the count was about 200,000 people in Rhode Island out of maybe 1.1 million. Not sure, because I know a lot of people leaving Rhode Island.
Well, here's the thing with that stat. It's a couple hundred thousand customers, but each one of those customers might have a family, you know.
It could be a 3-unit. It could be a family of four. It could be a person of one. So, like, that's just a minimal basis, so you'd want to multiply by two or three, because you don't know what the circumstances are of how the electricity, yeah, there was a lot of people. I mean, I have friends that tweeted pictures of them wearing ski outfits in their home for days because they were freezing. I have pictures of my family, because Portuguese, we think out of the box, and they put all their stuff in the refrigerator out in the snow. They made a cooler of snow.
That's one perk about a winter storm.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to give you guys a little synopsis real quick about it. So if you guys don't know about it, huge blizzard happened here in Rhode Island, Mass, Connecticut area. They actually banned driving in the streets. If you were caught, you would go to jail or you would get a $500 fine if you were not exempt, meaning if you weren't medical, police, or if you weren't somebody without power. So say you were just somebody who just wanted to go to a family's house, you were exempt. But if you were just somebody that wanted to take a joyride, you're going to go to jail. Like, no, it wasn't joking around, because they need to get plows out. Big problem is a lot of plows broke down or got stuck. I mean, we're talking about 5 inches an hour. We got, here where I live, the highest amount in Rhode Island, which was 29 inches of snow, you guys. Think about that. 29 inches of snow. But with blizzard conditions, you guys understand that there's got to be, I believe, 35-mile-hour wind consistent over a three-hour period. So we had that times 10. So the snowdrifts were about 6 feet was the highest I found. When we shoveled, we were making mounds of 20 feet full of snow, you guys. Think about that. 20-foot mounds. Like, I'm talking about throwing it up where you're not supposed to be doing that. If you got caught throwing snow into the road, meaning you were shoveling snow in the road, you actually need to shovel it back into the road or the side of the road, or you would get fined. We had plows that stuck. I was actually snowed in for 2 days, 3 days almost, because no plow plowed my street. And when they did, they got stuck. A plow got stuck in my street. They had to wait till a plow got sent to unplow the guy that got stuck plowing. It's crazy. Today, I got stuck. I was going up a hill, and they've only made all the streets, especially the secondary, the third, whatever, roads, only plowable for one car to go by. So I'm going up this hill. It's probably like a half mile long, and I'm going up, and there's a car coming down, which is not
a car.
It's a SUV. So we're like going, and then I pull into towards like a driveway area. And he flicks his lights for me to keep going. So I lost my momentum. I try to go up, and I get stuck. He keeps flashing me, right? So I'm like flashing him like I'm stuck. So finally he figures out that I'm stuck. He comes down, and he puts out his window, and he goes, "I think you're stuck." And I'm like, "Duh, idiot, you fucking..." "Yeah, I'm stuck, asshole." And he drove away. And I was like, all right. So I didn't even think of it. This is how much is going on in my brain. So I didn't think anything of it. So I'm trying to back up and go down, back up and go down. And then finally I realized I have to back up all the way down this half-mile hill with, like, about 3 inches of snow covering it, okay?
Oh, my God.
And then I realized the fucking asshole didn't even help me. He decided to pull the car over and tell me, "I think I'm stuck." No shit, asshole. But he doesn't even help me. He leaves. And
suddenly,
I'm stuck on a hill that I have to go backwards down. And I would think that I would be more scared to go down backwards. No. So I have to go about 10, 20 minutes out of the way just to be able to know that I can go up the hill to get to my job today. It's been just weird, you know, because it's like, I don't know, like you're just kind of stuck. You're helpless. Like,
we've got somebody else on the switchboard who's been battling Nemo.
Oh, I would love to hear that because you know what? Nemo was a fucking bastard. You know what? Kids are going to be traumatized over it for the rest of their lives. They're going to say, why did Nemo do this? Why? Why Nemo?
You want to talk to somebody else who's in bailing as well?
Let's do this.
Mr. John Crocker, how are you?
Good.
John Crocker, oh my gosh.
How's Nemo been to you?
Hail to Nemo, asshole.
We actually lost power. So.
You did.
But we only lost it for like 5 hours, but we didn't know how long it was going to be out for, so they were talking days. So we hightailed it out of here and down to somebody who had a wood-burning stove, and so we were warm.
Well, how much inches did you get? I mean, we got 29 inches where
That's
I live.
Personal question, Michelle Costa.
What'd you say?
That's a personal question.
Oh, well, you know, I was happy with the 29 inches. I'll be honest. I was like, woo-hoo. And, you know, 29 is my lucky number, so I just thought it was epic.
And we got about 20 inches where we are, and then probably got another 4 inches on top of that today.
Oh, well, you guys got snow. It's funny. We got rain.
Yeah.
We're actually 40 degrees, and some of the snow has been melting, which I was kind of like, oh, God. You know, people waited to actually shovel out. So I was thinking, like, if they waited to shovel out today, not only are they shoveling out 30 inches of snow, but they are shoveling it with rain on top. So that's horrible. I want you all to check on your neighbors, your friends, your family, because this is type of shoveling that could actually really harm you and hurt you.
Yeah, it's absolutely dangerous. Anybody who could have got out on Saturday should have been doing it, or Sunday for that matter, should have been doing their shoveling then, because even our snow today was wet. So it compacted everything that was there down, and it just fills with water. And the water doesn't drain away. That snow sucks up the water like there's no tomorrow, and it becomes a compacted.
Right.
And you know what the problem was? Is because today, what happened was the rain was falling on top of this. Okay, so you have tropical rain falling on top of a blizzard, okay? So what happens is, There's 3 feet of snow, and what happens is fog happens. So guess what happened today? You couldn't see a foot in front of you about 3-4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? Wow.
That's before nighttime. So you can't see your hand in front of you. Imagine it at night.
Yeah.
So that's what's happening right now.
We were very fortunate up here. We got 20 inches, but in comparison...
Think about what you're saying. 20 inches is fortunate.
Right.
Crazy.
Well, in comparison to what you all got in Rhode Island and what they got in Connecticut and Massachusetts, I mean, the coastal portion of Maine got the 30 inches and the 36, and there is a place in Massachusetts, I can't remember the name of the town, but they got 38 inches, and...
That's crazy.
38. That's 3 feet 2 inches. So measure, take out a tape measure and measure 3 feet 2 inches. And that is, if that's, I don't know what kind of snow you had there, because there are different kinds of snow as well. Ours was light and fluffy, so it was easy.
No, ours was about 3 inches of slush with the rest, because we had that mix in the beginning, which was like, you know, that icy mix. So when I went to undo my car, I had to actually beat the crap out of my car with the end of a slow shovel thing that, you know, you'd use for your car with the ice thing. And then I was driving my car yesterday, and my car started shaking violently when I hit 40, That's because the undercarriage of my car had so much snow that it was affecting my axle of my car. That when I was driving on the highway, my car was literally shaking like I had a flat tire. It's been so crazy. You don't know what's going on because there's snow, ice, this much. You can't, okay, never mind that. You can't see coming out of a street.
Right.
So think about just pulling out of a street, and there's a 20-foot snowbank on each side, okay?
Yeah.
You have to literally pull your car out, and that means your car is going to get hit. Like, things that are just, it's just weird. It's like
the end of
the world. Ugh.
It becomes an alien type world because you can't see anything around where you're driving. You can't see around the corner. You can't see if anybody's coming. You can't see if anybody's walking in front of you. I mean, it is crazy. But,
and you know, the craziest thing is that today it was 40 degrees raining, and you know what we're going to get in the next 2 days? Snow.
Yeah.
And they don't know how much, on top of everything. So, when I say this, there's no streets plowed in some towns. My street didn't get plowed out till yesterday, and the plow got stuck. So, on top of the rain and the snow, we're saying that these people are going to get stuck in that could have health problems. They need, like, we didn't have gas. We ran out of gas, which gas is going up, which that's another story. Prescriptions.
You're right.
Get them. Just like, so many things. And it's crazy because it's like people don't really think about it in the winter. You know, you think hurricane. This is like a hurricane times 10, people. Because you can't even drive in it. Like, people can't drive in it.
Seen the pictures of the area, the type of area where I live, but I live around, surrounded by mountains, and there are a lot of farms around here in between those mountains, and so there are no trees. So what effect is, and this is probably what happened on Long Island with all the cars getting stuck on the road, was that it wasn't about the snow that was coming down, that was raining down on us from the heavens, but it was also about the wind. And there are places around town here that are absolutely bare. There is no snow on them whatsoever. That's because the wind is cool.
Yeah, John, there was 90 mile per hour winds.
Yeah. So that,
90.
The winds blow the snow right up onto those cars while they're moving, and it becomes like concrete. And
yeah.
And that's how they got stuck, because of the snow drifts.
It was crazy. I mean, in my yard, I had an area that had maybe an inch of snow.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Then I had another area that had like 6 feet of snow.
Right.
This goes to show you the power of Mother Nature. Crazy.
Those people on Long Island should have known better. I mean, come on. Like, they were told to get off the road.
Yeah, I mean, we had a ban. I don't know about Maine, John,
we
if you want to interfere in that. But Rhode Island and Massachusetts and Connecticut, we were not allowed to drive on the streets, okay, as of 4 p.m. on Friday. We were allowed to drive. And at the same time, it was like, maybe you're allowed, maybe you're not. Sunday around 5. And I'm telling you that I went out, and I didn't think it was appropriate to drive because it's horrible out there. So how are the road conditions there? Did they give you guys a parking ban?
No, we had a voluntary ban. They highly suggested that if you did not need to go out, you did not go out. But we did have the state of emergency, but they did not ban the driving because the difference in the from the coastal areas to the inland areas was great. I mean, Portland, Maine got almost 34, 33 inches, something like that. inches of snow. I have friends that live in Portland, and their cars were absolutely buried. All you could see were the roofs of the cars, and that was it. And it was they made pancakes out of the cars. But then there were areas like the area where I am, which you would think, because of all the ski areas around where I live, that we would get the jackpot, but we didn't get it here. We got the 20 inches, but the plows and everything, all the snow removal vehicles that are around here. I mean, you drive around here, every local around here has a plow on their truck. So it's just a given. You always know two or three people with plows on their trucks, and they drive around with them 24/7. So they have ways of getting it cleared out relatively quickly. So we never had the actual ban, but they absolutely suggested that people stay home. And for the most part, people did. It was a ghost town here on Friday and Saturday.
I mean, thank God for that, because, you know, uncanny to the years past, but it was actually the 35th anniversary of the Blizzard of 1978, which that's what it was called. A lot of people call this the Blizzard of 2013, but there's also people calling it the Blizzard of NEMA, which is something of the Weather Channel, which I'm sure a lot of us watch. I personally like the fact that they're naming the blizzards, because I believe that they're as important as a hurricane. You know, it's something to remember. But
right.
Where they come up with the names is a little weird to me. I mean, I feel like, you know, they show a list of the names, and it seems like kind of something.
The storm we got today was called Orca.
Orca, yeah. I feel like it's like.
I thought it was
Oprah. Scientific. No, the thing is that a lot of people are
Ogre.
Not liking it. I personally like it, but I don't understand with every other name. You know, it's like Zeus and Thoras and Aura, and then you got Nemo, and I feel like it's affecting a lot of little kids in the world. I feel like little kids are going to be like, I've been watching Facebook, and, you know, I had one person say that their daughter said, "Why did Nemo do this to us? Why?"
Aww.
You know, and when you think about it like that, it's like they traumatize Nemo for all kids. And I'll never watch a Nemo, the movie, ever the same again. So it traumatized me as well. But what are your thoughts on the name of a blizzard? Do you think it's copacetic? I think it kind of is. I think it's like new age. Like, yeah, we need to start naming things because we're so forgetful. Like, oh, 2013, I did so much shit in that day. But if you say Blizzard Nemo, you're like, oh, damn, shit. Yeah, I remember that fucking motherfucker.
I couldn't figure out why they, I mean, I would watch one channel. I watch MSNBC all the time, and they call it a blizzard of 2013.
It's a Weather Channel thing. It's a Weather Channel thing. But I like that. But the naming of it seems like mythological, like kind of like a myth.
I read an article about it because I was curious as to why some media outlets were using the name Nemo and some others were, like all the major networks, refused to use it. I mean, they not refused, but they just... They just didn't name it Nemo. They named it the Blizzard of 2013. And the reason for that is because it is purely a Weather Channel idea that came up in November, much to the chagrin of the National Weather Service, who stated once they started naming these winter storms that they will never and have never in the past and will never in the future name winter storms. They're very specific about hurricanes in the summer, but they just chose not to.
Yeah, John, I will tell you this. Memorable storms end up with names anyway. My dad was like a 20-year-old or teenager in his late teens when Minneapolis was hit with a really surprise snowstorm, and this was back before they had real good predictions and radar and that type of thing. And it will always, for him, be the Armistice Day blizzard.
Right.
I had, we had a huge record-breaking blizzard in Minneapolis. It happened on Halloween. It will always be the Halloween blizzard.
I like the names. I think it gives it like because a meaning. You know, it's just not something. It's just not a blizzard. It's just not a snowstorm. I mean, Nemo affected a lot of people. Just like I feel like the hurricanes, they name them for a reason, and that's what they should do. They should name it because, not saying that, oh, there should be many snowstorms, but there could be many in one year, and for you to just reflect on it, just like we do in a lot of things, you know?
Right, I just don't think they should steal the names of children's movie characters to name them.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a little weird to name it Nemo. I think we traumatized a lot of kids. But
well,
that doesn't mean anything. That names are a name, but Nemo, I was like, oh, God, does it have to be that one? You know, like, a lot of kids love Nemo. It could have been Barney. I hate Barney.
we had Superstorm Sandy, and there, you know, everyone, we all know who Sandy is. We all know a Sandy in the world. I mean, it doesn't, I don't think it puts a negative outlook on any person that
no,
we know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, Nemo, like, you know, we all know Nemo. I'm sorry, for me, I don't know it as anything else but the goddamn little fish that could, you know? And so when you have that, you know, when you think Katrina, what do you think? If I were to name, hey, I'm going to name my kid Katrina. If I were to say that, what would be the first thing you would think?
New Orleans.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It puts a value to it, and I really think that's what we need to do as a whole. It's not just like the blizzard of night of 2013, because who to say there's not another one? It means how we all came together to remember that moment, to remember those days.
Right.
Because it's going to be good, bad, and ugly. We all know that. But it's also a coming together of us all helping each other. Because
all
it's
right.
going to be always bad, but you can always go, oh, my God, there was something bad that happened before, but look at us all coming together, because we can all think of bad things that happened before this, right? Amen?
All right, so
amen.
Are we going to start naming every other natural disaster?
I really think they should.
A tsunami,
I really think
will
that
get
we
a
should,
name. An earthquake will get a name.
I think so. I think that we should name it. Well, I mean.
But Paul, it's like any. I think it's any major.
It's anything
that
affects your life.
Right. Any major, like before 9/11. 9/11 was just another day in the world to everyone. Period. I mean, no, nobody knew. I mean,
9/11 will never be anything but 9/11. Like you, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but
it's something that you can put your thoughts and emotions and everything on. And for me as a person, as a human being, I want to be able to say, I'm going to leave it at this date and this time and what happened, and I want to move on. And you know what? The next thing that happens, I want to be able to say that this happened this day.
Yeah.
But I know what happened this other day. And
I
that's me moving on as a human being. I think that's acceptable. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, sorry. I don't mean to be blunt like that, but I really honestly think that us as a human being, we are so emotional that we need it, that we want it. It's not even a need. It's a want. Am I speaking out of line?
No.
No.
I think we should name the next one Costa.
Name the next one Costa.
I don't want to, because I don't want to be in there. I don't want there to be something else that people deal with stuff like this, but I know it's going to happen. We
right.
know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not the, is it going to, let's think about it. It's it happening and us doing it at that moment. And I think that us getting together and all being like, if this is Nemo, banding together, that means that we're paying attention, we're listening. Because,
right.
you know, that means that we're going to be more effective when it comes to safety, when it comes to talking about, hey, it's going to be a storm. You need to get out the road. For me, that's amazing. That's what I want. I want to hear people helping other people out so that they're not in harm's way. I don't know if I'm looking at it in a different aspect than everybody else, but that's what I'm thinking of, safety.
I think eventually the names will catch on, meaning everybody will start using the same name for the storms, and they'll just pick up on it. Cause
they are. It's just
because
that.
People use Nemo all weekend. That's the term that they used all weekend because that's what it was called by the Weather Channel. And where does everyone go when bad weather breaks? They go to the Weather Channel. So that's where they got the
right.
You know, it will pick up. And you know, who's the Weather Channel? Who's the National Weather Service to say that the Weather Channel can't name their own storms? If they want to name them, let them name them, and if people use
I'll be
it,
honest. I think they have named their own storms, and I think that if anybody thinks the opposite, there's always trends going on. There's things happening, and I think that they're doing their thing. They already named Oracle, and they're on to the next. This is not like something that they tried out. Like, they're not like, ooh,
nobody's
let's
gonna
try out Nemo.
Nobody's going to remember the O storm. It's now it's Oracle, huh? Anyway.
It's Oracle, but what I'm saying is it's not like they're like trying it, they're throwing it out on a whim. It's meaning that this has been working for them, and if we all
okay.
said Nemo, that we've all known somebody that's told us Nemo. Correct, Paul?
Yeah.
Correct, Chari? Correct, John? Have you heard
yep.
Nemo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
what else is going on?
Let's
the
get
world?
Them to sponsor us. Hey, I'll be like, I'm in the weather zone. Hook it up.
Okay. I have a reality show thing. I'll start the reality thing off.
Thanks. Oh, fantastic.
You ready?
I saw that
reality show, The Job, the other night. I sat through it. I suffered through the entire thing. And I'm telling you, if it lasts two more weeks, it will be amazing.
Wait, what is it?
It's called The Job.
The Job.
It's on NBC. I watched it, John, and I kind of mentioned it to you, Cherry, too. I have kind of the same feeling, like I'm going to give it another week and maybe a different company or a different boss might bring something new to it, but it really, yeah, I didn't.
It was painful, Paul. There's no other explanation for it. It was just like, how much deeper in the depths of reality hell can they go to pull crap out? You know, that's what they did because it was awful.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that.
I love Lisa Ling. I love that woman to death. Even before when she
I'm
was
sorry,
on
I
Channel
I haven't
1.
Watched it, so you guys can commence. I personally don't think it's a waste of time to even talk about it, but I love Lisa Ling too, Charlie's Angels. But
she was on Channel 1 first, and then she went to The View. And then now she's doing this, which I think is a step down for her. But.
Yeah, the boring factor was off the charts on that show. It was just.
Oh, you finally watched it, Cherry?
Yeah, I told you I watched it on demand.
Oh, okay.
It was
part of the HOPPA that we now have.
Oh my gosh! I did a little bit of research on that. I want one.
Uh-oh.
Wait, the bopper or the hopper? Because the bopper is
there
a hopper
is,
thing,
there.
And the baby thing is so cool because you can just, like, chill. It's kind of like one of those neck things that you wear, like, in a plane.
No, the hopper from Dish Network.
Michelle, there is a DVR-type device that Dish Network has called the hopper, and it records things. You can set it up so you can say, I want to record every primetime network show, and it will record 8 days worth of it. So, you, I mean, holy cow.
So it's like a DVR times Lance Armstrong, OMD.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing device.
Let's, yeah, I just
saw that.
Michelle, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Jerry and Rich's world. There was a question.
Please.
There was a question by Seymour in the chat room about, wondering about. You're already answering it. Well, for those that are listening, go ahead and address that, Jerry.
Seymour asked if we got our car back yet, and we thought we might get it back today. But we got a call, and they said that they got it back from the auto detailing place. They said the interior looks like it is a brand spanking new car, but there was a few minor details that they want to do to it, and that we will have it back tomorrow. So I am so excited to get my car back. I can't wait to get it.
I am so curious to find out if they messed around with position number one, though.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I don't care. We can reset all that.
The other thing, and just maybe you have the floor for a little bit here, Cherry, but you know, a lot of people don't have the benefit of being able to chat with you, maybe like I and other people have, but you had a few events, you know, things that you were taking care of this week, and I thought it was a pretty cool story that you shared when you you found something back at the house. You want to tell people about that?
Oh my gosh, it was a rough day. We went back over to the house, and I actually went into the house, which I had not done before. I had only been in the basement, and the basement was rough enough for me to go in, just seeing the house and the condition it is, and going into the basement was really tough. But this day, we went into the house, the remains of the house, and you couldn't tell where the walls began and ended, and where rooms started and ended. It was, the walls are all gone, and like a refrigerator was, it melted. You couldn't tell there was a refrigerator there. You couldn't make out what it used to be, and it was just eerie going back in there, and you're stepping on just feet of ash and garbage and just it, sealing the insulation from the roof and roofing material, and just it was horrible. Anyway, I knew about where I had set my watch on the bathroom sink, and we took a shovel and we started digging, and we literally dug out my watch from feet of just all this melted, you know, ash.
So what?
And
it was a watch. Why was it special?
Well, Rich had gotten it for me as a gift, and it was very special to me. It was a gift from him, and we pulled it out, and it was just disgusting. Had crud all over it, and so we took it and had a battery put in it, and it actually started ticking again. And they told me how to clean it up, and I cleaned it up with a soft toothbrush and toothpaste, and I am now wearing it right now.
All right, but wait a minute. You're missing what I thought was the coolest part of it. The jeweler, the person that where you took it to, said, I'm not going to open it up. There's plastic parts in it, inside of it, and they're likely ruined. And what happened when you opened up the watch?
Yeah, we opened it up, and it was fine. There was nothing melted in it. There is plastic parts inside of it. There's like a the entire outer rim inside of it is plastic. There's an outer casing inside the watch that's plastic. And he said, you know, that's going to be melted if this watch is in a fire. And he popped the back off of it, and, you know, I saw what he was talking about, but it was fine. It was not melted. And he said, well, let's put a battery in it and see if it ticks. And he put a battery in it, and it started ticking, and I was just so thrilled to see my watch work again. And, you know, he told me how to clean it up, and it looks so good. It's something that, you know, just to pull anything out of there is so wonderful.
Am I the only one that's like, woo, woo?
Oh, my gosh.
Woo, woo.
It's so, no, believe me, I've been doing it since I get my watch back.
Can I get in the chat room? Because I know the chat room is, like, bugging out right now because they're super excited to hear that, Cherry. Seriously,
oh,
that's
my gosh.
Like,
get anything out of there is such a blessing. It's so cool to get something out of there and have something that used to be mine, you know, back again. It means so much. You have no idea. It's just to have, you know, because when you have nothing that used to be yours anymore, to get something back that's familiar,
yeah,
you know, is just awesome. And
I'm curious for those that are for those that are listening, I've shared this in previous shows, that people, if they want your address, you know, find me on Facebook and I'll, you know, message it to you. But now that you're in the new condo, have you started receiving mail?
The new
mail
hacienda.
There?
I got a card from Laura McDonald today and from her entire family, and it's one of the most beautiful cards. I mean, she writes so beautifully. And today, this was the first card I've received here. It was from Laura McDonald. So I'm sure that there'll be more. But
do you want to share your address?
Laura,
is that something
you
want to do, Cherry?
No. We'll not do it on the air. We talked about this a couple shows
back.
Well,
I mean, it's up to her. If there's an address that she wants things to be sent, but like, she needs to address it because a lot of people ask me, and I don't know what to say. So, excuse me, Paul, not to be aggressive, but it's up to her to say, contact me directly or whatever, because I can't speak for her, but I can't answer for her, and I don't know what to answer. So, Cherry, would
you
do that honor for me?
Michelle, I got
it. I'm sorry, Paul. I need to, because people aren't asking me. I don't know what to do.
Let me address what you're bringing up is all I'm trying to do here. Certainly, it's not my decision. My recommendation would not be to put it out on the Rad Reality show.
Well, it's up to her. I know, I understand that, but it's up to Cherry. She's on here. She can say, send me a direct message or whatever she wants to do, but I don't. There's a lot of people that want to reach out for her, and Paul, I think that she
needs to tell people. Michelle, you're not listening to me. I am saying we're not going to audibly. I would not recommend audibly giving it out on the show, but to private message. If somebody asks me on a Facebook private message, or if they're asking you. That is what I think.
Well, I don't
Cherry
want them
should
to ask me. That's not my place. I'm saying that Cherry's on right now, and it's
all right.
Her.
That's enough. Cherry, go ahead.
Anybody
I'm
can
sorry,
have
Cherry,
my
that's
address.
Up to you. I don't have the right to speak for you. It's your choice. Speak, please.
Well, let her
they
speak.
They can
then.
Private
ahead.
Message me for my address. Paul has my address. I will make sure that if you want my address, you can get it. You can private message me. You can private message Paul. you can private message. I'll make sure that a few other people have it as well. If you want my address, I'll make sure that those who want it get it. I'm just not going to throw it out on air because I don't want crazy people having it. But if you're a Rad Reality family member, you can certainly have my address. And I certainly appreciate all the well wishes and the thoughts and prayers. And you guys have all been so wonderful and beautiful and supportive. And I can't thank you enough for doing so. It's been just heartwarming to know that, you know, you all are out there praying for Rich and I. And, you know, when you're down and you feel like you've lost everything, to know that you've got this family out there saying prayers for you means a hell of a lot. And I can't thank you enough for being there for me. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, when I've been up late at night posting, asking for prayers for people, I knew that it meant a lot. But now I'm experiencing just how much it really and truly does mean. And I just want to say thank you so much. So if you want my address, get with, you know, private message me, private message Paul. Any of us, you can have my address. I will make sure you have it. But I don't think there's any need to throw it out there on the air because we don't know who might be crazy people out there listening, and I don't want weirdos having it. So, I do appreciate everyone out there that's been so awesome and sending prayers and well wishes. And this has been like a nightmare that I haven't been able to wake up from yet. And I know that eventually we'll get settled in and things will calm down. Right now we haven't gotten there yet. We went out and looked at houses today, and that was a journey. You know, we only have so much time before we have to make a decision whether we rebuild or buy a different house and just let them tear down our house, our old house, and tear down the foundation with it and fill in the hole and sell the plot of land it was on and buy a house elsewhere. And which is going to be more advantageous for us, we really don't know. It's going to be costly to build another house where we were. And we don't know if we'd be able to quite afford that. I'd love to rebuild there because I love my neighbors. And we know, you know, the area. We know our neighbors. We know what we're getting there. But cost-effective-wise, I just don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not. So we're kind of being forced at looking at some other houses, and we may have to downsize a little because of this. And I don't know. I just don't know where we're going to land yet. And we're being forced to make this decision rather rapidly, and we don't really have anybody to guide us, you know, and tell us which way is the best way for us to go. So we're flying blind here, and it's tough. We looked at some houses today. We looked at one that's 38 years old, but it had great, great woodwork throughout, and it had a lot of character. And
an acre and a half.
An acre and a half of land, and, you know, but it had some issues. I mean, the basement had been permajacked, and we have to find out if that has a lifelong warranty with it. And, you know, it had a greenhouse. It had a whoever lived there before was into a lot of the same things I am. They were into a lot of flowers and flower beds and gardening and bird houses everywhere. So, you know, I certainly would be enjoying a lot of that. Had a greenhouse attached to the back of this huge garage that was an oversized two-car garage with a big workshop at the end of it. So Rich could be very busy. He had a big shed. So, yeah, it was a lot that was interesting about this house. No, it had no wallpaper. No wallpaper, Joe. I'll never do wallpaper again. But the woodwork in this place, you could tell, was handmade. And out in the shop, you can tell whoever lived there was a woodworker. Whoever lived there did all this themselves. And whoever lived there loved this place a lot. And
it's not,
spent
it's
a
not
lot
that,
of time there.
It's not that far from your old neighborhood, right? Just a couple
miles?
About
2 miles. Yeah, 2 miles from where we used to live. So, you know, there's a lot of interest in this house from Rich and I, but we just don't know enough about it yet to say that, you know, that's the place for us. We have to find out some more info about it. And we looked at some newer places today. They didn't quite seem to fit our bill. Some of them didn't have much of a yard. Some of them, you know, the basements weren't, I don't know, there was just issues that seemed to, each one of them had some sort of issue and just didn't seem to fit us. The only one that really seemed to have enough interest for us to go back and find out more was this 38-year-old home. And that one did intrigue us. And so, you know, we're going to keep looking. There's another real estate agent that we talked to last night that I do want to talk to again. He's the leading agent in this area. He sells 60 to 80 homes in this area every year. And the lady we went with today was very nice, very cordial, but she just yeses and knows you to death. She doesn't really give you her opinion or tells you much of information about each house. She just, if you say something about it, she says she agrees with you. Whether you say you like it or don't like it, she agrees with you. Yes, no, yeah, you know. She doesn't really tell you, I wouldn't do this if I was you, or I would do this if I was you. You know, she just agrees with you. And we need somebody right now who can guide us. We looked at a house that was quite interesting to us from the street, and we had pulled in to look at it, and this was yesterday, and there was another couple there with their agent, and I rolled down the window and I said, are you guys looking at this house? And they said yes. The agent actually answered me and said, yes, they're looking at it, but they're putting a contract on it today. And I was like, okay. And so last night I called a different agent about it and talked to him, and he called me back in an hour and told me all about this home and said that the home is actually sliding down the hill. Oh. And the last owner put $100,000 into this home trying to pier it up and wound up letting it foreclose and walked away from it. And so I was like, well, that's not the home for us. We are not looking for a money pit. We are not looking for a project. And even though the home was on a beautiful, absolutely breathtaking piece of property, and it was a gorgeous home, it was beautiful, it's a money pit. And he said at best somebody might be able to rent that piece of property, that house out, for maybe 2 years before that house is going to have to be torn down. And just knocked down completely. And we were like, thanks for letting us. He said he's known both of the previous owners of that home. And he said, I can tell you everything about that house. And he said, you don't want it. He said, that house is falling down.
See, that's the kind of agent.
Right. That's who I want to go back to now and let him show us some houses. And
hey, real quick, Jerry, say goodnight to Bronxy. She's got to run.
Oh, Bronxy, thank you, babe, for being here with us tonight. It's been such a pleasure seeing you. And please keep in touch with me and let me know how you're doing, babe. Take care.
I have to run as well here.
John.
I will talk to you all later.
All right. Thank you for calling in tonight. It was great hearing your voice.
Likewise. I will call you, though. I will call you later.
Please do. I would love to hear from you. Okay. Take care,
babe. Thank you, John. Have a good night. Oh,
bye. Bye, Paul. Bye, everyone in the chat room.
Take care.
Bye.
I didn't mean to bore everybody to death, but anyway, that's what's going on. So we're trying to find out what we're going to do next, so. A process.
Well, it doesn't sound boring to me. It sounds like you're making moves, and step forward is the best thing. I mean, there's a lot going on with you, so I feel like you're doing progress, which is great. So don't be sorry for anything. You're doing fantastic, babe.
Hey,
it's hard when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm curious if you were able, Jerry, to look at the picture I told you about from Louie.
Not yet, but as soon as I get off here, I'm going
Michelle,
to.
Michelle, have you seen the picture Louie put on his Facebook of his dog, Bella?
Nope.
Everybody listening, they got to look at this picture. Louie Stigato's dog, Bella, at any rate.
Oh, my gosh, I see it right now. How cute.
I thought you'd enjoy that, Jerry.
My gosh, how cute. What a doll.
All right.
I can't wait. Amazing Race is getting ready to start up, and so is Survivor. And
Survivor. I'm pretty excited
about it. Baby.
I hear it's going to be a little crazy.
It is.
What have you heard?
You don't like spoilers, Paul. You better stop asking those questions.
I know.
You're going to get
just heard
answers.
There's going to be a couple of fights, but we all know that fights happen anyway. But I feel like some people are coming back from past seasons.
Yep. I don't know why I'm feeling this, but the little that I've seen about the cast in this new season, I'm even hopeful that it could be another great one like last year. I mean, last year, I think we were all in agreement it was a great season, the last one.
Oh, my gosh. I loved last season.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I mean, we haven't really talked about it, but we all know it's something that we haven't talked about, but Big Brother is going to be starting earlier this year. Oh.
Yes.
Ajuna. I have Ajuna. Who else has? So that just means we're going to have early Ajuna, early rumors, early things happening. I don't know about you guys, but I've already heard about tons of rumors. I have my own show. It's just all this crazy stuff. And so I don't know. What's your thoughts on what's happening? Because there's just so much going on and so many rumors. What are you paying attention to? I want to know.
I actually don't know about any Big Brother rumors. It's like this is every year we hear them, and I don't really pay attention until it gets a little bit closer. What kind of things are you hearing, Michelle?
I hear people telling me that I'm going to be in Big Brother and all this stuff, and I'm like, I haven't heard any of this. Like, please do tell. Like, you know, and they're like, tell me now. And I'm like, you're the first to let me know about this. Honestly, it's way too early. Who cares if it's a week or 2 weeks early than normal? Doesn't really change the whole aspect of how they do their thing. Just because it's 2 weeks early doesn't mean they're going to say early. And I don't know.
I think it's because we've got such loyal, rabid Big Brother fans that any little change, they kind of sit up and go, oh, what does that mean? Don't you think?
Well, I do, but I mean, at the same time, I think we've kind of got adapted to the Big Brother lifestyle. It's like, rumors are rumors, and, you know, some of them are true, some of them are false, but just because it's 2 weeks early doesn't mean things are going to change. We're still not going to know anything that's going on. We want to know, but we're not going to know. Do we want to know? Yes. Do we want to know? No. It's just, oh, God. Big Brother's coming up. It's crazy.
Well, we actually will have an English-speaking Big Brother at the end of this month. February 27th is when that Canada starts.
Yeah, and I know that Canada's super, super duper excited. We're excited. I'm excited because, you know, Canada has been backing us up for a long time, so I can't wait to see. But honestly, bringing on America, Big Brother, I don't really care about that, I'll be honest, until America, Big Brother starts. And so I feel like once that starts, it's just going to start Big Brother America, you know, frenzy. I'll be honest. It's going to be epic.
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 All right. I'm curious if I can understand if Jerry hasn't had time to watch, but Michelle, did you watch the most recent Mob Wives episode?
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Cool.
Holy shitballs, because Drita hangs out with Lucifer, and Drita's the little devil, and Karen is like, what the hell's going on? And
wait till Renee gets home. She's going to think the whole world's flipped upside down.
I want to just say one thing because it happened in the first part of the show, because I have been through therapy. Look at what part we saw of Renee. That is a guide on how not to participate in group therapy, what she was doing.
I mean,
she was ready to eat that little blonde alive. She was like, keep me out of your mouth.
You don't.
Yeah,
know
I don't think she's a good. No, it was for TV. That's what I felt.
Yeah,
like, listening to her,
right.
I felt like I was like, come on, you know, make it a little bit more TV-ish, but you know.
Well, and we finally, due to their daughter's birthday party, due to, you know, Ramona's birthday party, we finally had a sit down with Ramona and Drita. And
I'm excited about it. I think that it's great that they've sat down and talked. We don't know what else happened, but for me, I'm happy with the talk. Is anybody else happy? I'm happy.
I am happy too, but I thought it was really funny with Drita's comment that you kind of touched on. Drita says Ramona looks more like a mom to her now than Lucifer.
I think she did that to anybody. I mean, she took away the Lucifer and was like the mom. And though I still think she's Lucifer, I really think she was like, put her motion to the side and said, you know what, this is what I need to do. I think because of what's happening in the moment of what they're going through, I think that Drita is going to have a lot going on because her ex is coming back, but I think she's going to handle it a lot different. I think she's actually going to be the one that's going to stick it through. I really think that she might be the cream of the crop, per se. Like, she might be the one that has the baby daddy come back after jail.
Yeah. I also wanted to comment on...
Well, obviously. Yeah, Carlos didn't come back.
It's funny because we had Carla on here, and we had Big Ange on here, and to think that, honestly, Carla had some kind of thing going on, but Big Ange is having some roller coaster ride with her ex, and I don't know where he stands. He's confusing to me. I'm confused to watch it. Am I the only one?
With Neil? I know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they're, like, on again, off again. Like, one minute they're...
I'm on a roller coaster ride with them.
I know. I know. I agree. One minute she's throwing him out, and the next minute she's proud of him. And...
Well, I mean, he really stepped up in that bar fight. Yeah.
Yeah, but what does that mean? Like, does that mean he's, like, there to take care of all the problems? No, he took care of that problem, and that's the issue, is that
she says he doesn't realize the line.
To draw the line, like, okay, do you want him to do this or do you want him to do that? Because he's obviously not taking care of business. So,
right.
You know, it's a matter of, like, hardship. Like, what are you going to put yourself up to?
Yeah.
I want
to.
You know,
she
mentioned. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I. Yeah, I'm confused about Neil, too. I think that will play out in time. But I really want to talk about this and find out your feelings. Ramona taking her daughter to that lawyer, that young little girl sitting there listening about her dad, and then to find her, Ramona's boyfriend, and to find out that they were engaged. I thought those were a couple of items that we could talk
about.
Okay,
finding out about her being engaged, that was weird, but we don't know about their life. So for her to bring her daughter to that, that means her daughter understands. I mean,
you didn't think she was too young?
I've been in that sort of life, and you either accept it or deny it. And she accepting it means, yeah, she understands that. Also, at the same time, she's letting people know she allows all this other stuff to happen. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean that she's the culprit, but it does mean that she has a purpose of it being outed.
Yeah.
I personally don't quite think it's acceptable.
Which?
What do you mean, which? I mean, the fact that she just allows it to happen.
No, I don't know. I just kind of felt uncomfortable seeing such a young girl sitting in such an adult situation and listening to that conversation. That's just how I was feeling at the time I was watching it. That's all.
No, I understand that. That's why I'm saying I think that, you know, we don't understand that lifestyle. So for us to be objective to that and say, that's not right, that's not right of us. But at the same time, she was very adult to it. It's not like that was her first roundabout. I mean, she handled herself pretty good to be put in that situation. I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, God, please don't say her daughter's going in that. But that's their life.
Yeah.
So that's why we got to step out of what we think and say, somebody else would think this is better, bigger, badder, and better, or this is worse. The most atrocious situation or the most unthinkable. And things that we think about that's impossible are possible, and then things that to other people are impossible. It's you can't get into everybody's mind frame.
That's true. And then I thought it was a perfect way to end the show because I can't wait till next week. Obviously, the show ends with the onslaught of Hurricane Sandy. So I don't know about you, but I'm really interested to see what all evolves in the next episode.
Right, and they're all in the what they call the the must
zone
evict
A.
Or must
evacuate
yeah area. So it's going to be interesting to see where they all go and what happens when they return and all of that. But what I was going to say, Paul, earlier was that when Ange was talking about being upset with Neil, she was referring to him not being there for her when she had her foot surgery, and that was when she was on our show. So getting back to right when they were, this was filmed right when she was on our show or just after, because she was talking to us from her bed the day she had her foot surgery. She had just come home from having her surgery. So she said that Neil dropped her off and didn't even go and talk to the doctor and wasn't there for her when she had her surgery. And so this filming took place right after or just before, they were on the show with us. So very, very close in proximity to when we had them on the show.
Wow, that is definitely cool. I remember that.
I was thinking about that when Carla,
I was listening to Carla today, and I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. We had Carla on our show. Because she was actually one of the main people. Yeah, we had Big Ange. We had a few, but I think Carla was the main aspect of it. Big Ange did just have her surgery, so she was a little out of it. I'll be honest. I think personally, I don't know if Cherry would comment on that, but I feel like she was a little out of it. Where Carla was very attentive to what was going on. So,
right. And we had Jen too.
We had Jen, and it's so heartfelt of what we're going to see in the next episode.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like so heart-wrenching because we have what we had going on here. And then, so now we're going to watch what we've heard, what we've seen in other news promos or whatever you want to call it. But we're actually going to see and feel what the hurricane was meant through the eyes of who we're going to talk about or who we're going to see.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, everybody sees it through a different light, and it's like, I get anxiety. I don't want to feel that because I've already felt like what I felt. So to feel somebody else's feelings on top of mine, it's like, oh, God. So,
well, I want to point out, let you know that we're getting down to the end of the show here. Just a heads up, because I know you don't see the clock like I do there, Michelle. But I was very glad to get the Rad Reality Show back in its normal mode. It just felt a lot better to me, don't you think, Michelle?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, to get things to their regularly scheduled program, no pun intended, it's good. I mean, sometimes you like things to be not coordinated, and then at the same time you want things to be back on track, and I think eventually but surely we're going to go back to our originally scheduled program, but you know what? I don't think it's gonna happen, and that's why you guys stick with us. And I don't need to see anything else, but thank you so much for just kind of going with the motions of the ocean. I appreciate it.
Aww. It's wonderful to be back, and I couldn't think of any, you know, any place I'd rather be. I just need to be here and need to do what Ron wanted me to do, and just be here with all of you guys and get back in the saddle, so to speak. And I'm going to bring somebody up real quick. He popped on the switchboard really late. He must have something to say really quick because the show is about to end, so I'm going to bring him up real quick here. Mr. Chi-Town Joe, how are you, dear?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm glad you're doing even better, and Michelle's okay. I was so worried about her. Hi, Michelle. I just
don't
wanted to call.
Don't be worried about me. It was just a little blizzard. It's only 30 inches, please.
Yeah, well, you know, what can I say? I just wanted to say one thing, because we're not going to speak to each other for probably a week. Well, I might talk to both of you, but who knows, but I just wanted to say a very, very happy Valentine's Day to you, Cherry, and to you, Michelle.
Thank you, Joe.
And nobody, yeah. I had a card for you, Michelle, but I lost it.
Bye, Daniel.
If I find it, I'll send it.
Damn you, we're done.
But that's all I wanted to say. So
good for you. It didn't even dawn on me. I'm glad you're there to bring that up, and I will echo what Joe said. Have a because we won't see you till after Valentine's Day. Do you have any plans, Michelle?
You know, I do not. My plans have been kind of up in the air. There's been so much going on. You know, this snowstorm has kind of really put a chisel in our stones here. And, you know, I think it's for the best. It gives me an excuse because I can say, you know what, like, what are you talking about? This Valentine's Day was a blizzard. Like, what are you talking about? So it makes me feel good to make me feel like I'm not a loser, but I'll be honest, you know, fuck Valentine's Day. I think every day should be Valentine's Day. If you love somebody,
there you go.
If you care about somebody, then you should tell them every day that you love them. And I think Hallmark really came out with a really good kind of fucking date and fucking make some money for them. God bless them motherfuckers. And finger fucking, you know, I'm sorry, Paul, but I'm going to swear, and I'm going to say, fuck you, Hallmark. Who cares? Every day should be love day. You love somebody, then it doesn't need to have a fucking day on it. I'm sorry. I feel like it's stupid. I think it's stupid. There's so much more going on in the world. Sorry.
I could have lost so many people
on top of everybody else that I lost about 10 years ago, last year, the Station Nightclub fire, which I was supposed to be in.
Yeah. Anyway. I hate to do this, but we do. Thanks for calling in, Joe. And
no problem, Paul.
Hang in there, Michelle. You know, but we need to
It's not the point. It's like people just bring up so much stuff that doesn't mean anything. And, you know, I lost, like, so many friends. I mean, when I mean alive, I mean, like, dozens in one day. Who goes to 10 funerals in 3 days? And you're supposed to be there. It's just stuff like, you know what, Valentine's Day, who cares?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got you.
Period.
We're here for you, Michelle.
Just be happy. Just be happy that you're here, you're talking, you know?
I'm always happy when I'm talking to you, Michelle.
You too, Jared.
Love
you, right, guys.
All right, I'm going to close the show, as I always do, with Ron, because he makes us all happy.
Love you all out there, whether you're here with us in the chat room or you're listening to this later. We love you. I'm going to close the show with Ron. God bless you all.
Tonight was a great show. And I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
Well, there's no space and time. I love you for my life, darling, you're a friend of mine. When my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I was singing this song with you. We were alone, I was singing this song for you. We were alone, I was singing this song. Singing this song for you.
Thank you guys. Love you.
And we love you all out there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your loved ones. Be kind to each other. And when you think things are bad, just be grateful for what you have. Look around. Make sure that you are thankful that you have a warm heart and a warm home. And remember that things could always be worse. And what you have could always be gone in an instant. Because it really can. So take care of yourselves. Be kind to each other. Come back and check us out on Thursday for the Survivor Roundtable Show. First of this season. And many more to come. See you then with Bubba Travis Sampson. Can't wait to get Survivor Season started. Let's do it Thursday, right here on the Rad Reality Show. We'll see you then.
See you there.
Take care, everyone. Good night. God bless.